A trial is designed to develop you. A temptation is designed to defeat you.
But Dr. Tony Evans says it doesn't have to, as he talks about the Lord's plan to keep us pure.
If God allows temptation to come to you, it is because he's already determined it's something you can handle.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says temptation comes at us from three different dangerous sources. Today, he'll explore each one of them and tell us how to recognize and reject their schemes. Let's join him.
In continuing our spiritual growth series, today I want to talk to us about the battle of spiritual growth, the battle of temptation. James chapter 1 will start us off when he says in James 1 verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he does not tempt anyone. Each one of us is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. This comes at the end of James's discussions about trials, and he says, God leads us into trials in order to develop us. The same Greek word for trial is the Greek word translated in verse 13, tempt or temptation. It's the same word, but it can be translated either trial or temptation. What is the difference? A trial is something created or allowed by God to produce spiritual maturity, spiritual development, and spiritual growth. A temptation, however, is a solicitation to evil or enticement to evil. It's an invitation to disobey or rebel against God in order to stifle our spiritual life, interrupt our spiritual growth, and limit our capacity to bring greater glory to God. A trial is designed to develop you. A temptation is designed to defeat you. But here's the key. The same event can be both. An event that is a trial can also be used as a temptation. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, God put a tree in the midst of the garden and says, this tree, you shall not eat it, lest you die. That was their trial. Satan came along and turned it into their temptation. The same event. God told Satan he could go and test Job. God sent it as a trial. Satan sought to use it as a temptation. So a trial and a temptation can be two separate things, or they can be two things after the same thing. God wants to use it to develop you, and evil, Satan, wants to use it to defeat you and therefore stifle your spiritual growth. Temptation is different in its source, its purpose, and as you'll see, in its outcome. The author wants you to know that when you are tempted to do evil, that is not sourced in God. You can say, God, why are you trying me? You can never say, God, why are you tempting me? The trial God will own, the invitation to do wrong with it, does not belong to him. He now lays out this process or progress of temptation. He says it starts by desire. The word lust simply means desire. It can be a bad word or a good word. They're legitimate desires. They're illegitimate desires. They can be for the same thing. It starts with desire for an illegitimate thing or to use a legitimate thing in an illegitimate way. That desire is then mixed with deception. He says in verse 4, when you are enticed. This is a very graphic picture here of a fisherman putting worm on a hook and throwing it into the water to entice a fish to bite it. What the worm is designed to do is entice the fish while hiding the hook in order that it might become food for the fishermen. Desire based on deception leads to disobedience, verse 15. When lust is conceived, he uses a birth analogy, it gives birth to sin. It is not sin to be tempted. Temptation only becomes sin when you act on it. The fact that it shows up is not sin. Your response to it makes it sin or keeps it from becoming sin. So do not be discouraged that you are tempted. Jesus was tempted. When you're deceived based on your desire so that it leads to disobedience, then there is a baby that comes out of that, and it's called death. And it always happens that way. You die. Now, you don't drop dead of a heart attack every time you sin, but you die every time you sin. God told Adam and Eve the day they eat of this fruit, they were going to die. They didn't drop dead that day. What they did was lose fellowship with God. The result of yielding to temptation is the loss of spiritual fellowship, which is why confession of sin is so important. When you break fellowship, you have to re-enter fellowship, and that is done through confession of sin. Our purpose here is for us to understand that sin advertised price is always lower than its actual cost, and that sin has the power to reproduce itself because sin gives birth to death. So we wind up now with a grandchild. We got a child called sin, and it has its own baby called death. So sin never ends where sin starts. Sin always ends further up, giving birth to new things. He says, when you are tempted to sin, you cannot look at God and say, God, why are you allowing me to go through this? Because the answer is, if he is allowing you to go through it, it's a test. It's a trial, it's not a tempt. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Don't think you're unique. You're not the only one been here. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to handle it. The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If God allows temptation to come to you, it is because he's already determined it's something you can handle. Because he will not allow a temptation to hit you that you can't handle. He won't do that. So you have to assume something by faith. If it got through to me, I can handle it. You have to assume that, because when you're in the middle of it, you feel you can't handle it, all right? God says, if it got through, you can handle it. Now, God will, with the temptation, provide an exit, a way of escape. Please don't miss it. The key word there is the word with. At the very same moment God allows the temptation, it's at that very same moment he produces the exit. The exit comes with the temptation. You say, well, I don't see no exit sign. That's because you're so focused on how nice the temptation looks, you're not looking for an exit sign. There is always an exit sign coming along with the temptation. The exit sign doesn't mean you're going to get out this second. The exercise means you can handle it till you do get out. Until God's purposes. When can you get out? When you have had victory. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's not immediate. So the first solicitor of temptation is the devil. The second one is the world. It's his system. 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is world, spiritually speaking? World is an orientation that I live my life leaving God out. The Bible says you cannot love something that leaves God out, where God cannot be included. And he must be put on the sidelines. You may have to live in it, but you don't have to love it. What Satan uses his network to do is get you and I to leave God out. He loves for folk to come to church on Sunday as long as they leave God out on Monday. As long as you don't make God a daily situation and keep him as a weekly event, you're his favorite Christian because he knows he doesn't have to worry about you at all. That's worldliness. So the world is an evil system that wants God out of the equation. And then there's the flesh. Now that's what makes the devil and the world work. The reason the devil and the world work in soliciting us to do evil is because of the flesh, our inbred self-centeredness. I like the way Paul says it in Romans chapter 7, verse 23. He says, I see a war waging in my members. And this is the battle of every Christian. He said, because this is a Christian struggling to live out his righteousness. He says, I'm at war because I got stuff that I know I shouldn't do, that I know deep down I don't want to do, that I do anyway. Have you ever felt that? If you haven't felt that, you're not saved. Because that means you don't have anything in you to fight. He says, I'm in a war. He says, the willing is present in me. I know I want to do right. I know I don't want to do wrong. But every time I tell myself I'm going to do right, wrong show up. Have you ever seen that? Just when you have made your commitment, walked the aisle, promised God, got on your knees, soon as you get up, the opposite shows up. Because the enemy studied your game film. The flesh is that part of you that craves to be satisfied independently of God. And that is the thing that the devil can work with and that the world can work with, and that is our inbred receiver system called the flesh. And that is the desire to have it, to go there, to do that.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll talk about specific strategies we can use to resist temptation, no matter what the source. Stay with us.
Hey, was your morning commute all green lights? Did that midday coffee taste just a little less stale? Small victories can feel like a big win. Giving Tuesday is coming up. At The Urban Alternative, we celebrate this day by reminding you just how much you matter in our mission to share God's word to a world in need. Those small everyday moments make a huge impact. And when you give to The Urban Alternative, you're changing the world. And that's worth celebrating. We celebrate you too. Learn how you can help influence the world for good at TonyEvans.org.
Before we get back to today's message, I want to let you know it's part of Dr. Evans' current teaching series, Essentials of Spiritual Growth. This series is a 2-volume, 16-lesson collection, taking you through the influences and activities that either contribute to your spiritual growth or stand in its way. In it, you'll discover new ways to resist temptation and sin, learn to hold on to the lifelines of God's Word and prayer, grab hold of your new identity, and move on toward maturity. This giant collection, on either CD or digital download, is yours as our gift when you make a donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Visit us right away at TonyEvans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 to make your contribution. And then let us send you a copy with our thanks. And if you do that by Wednesday, we'll even include an extra bonus. It's a copy of Dr. Evans' insightful devotional book, Life Under God, with daily bite-sized reads adapted from his powerful legacy work, The Kingdom Agenda. Don't wait. This special double offer will be gone in just a couple of days. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's message.
So you've got this enemy, three of them. an evil person, an evil system, and evil desires that are soliciting you. Let's look at the cure. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, the passage read in your hearing. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we're not talking about your strength to gut it out. We're not talking about gritting your teeth and making a New Year's resolution. Forget New Year's resolutions. Because New Year's resolutions are simply a human attempt to get the flesh to act right. In the middle of verse 11, he says, stand firm. At the end of verse 13, he says, stand firm. At the beginning of verse 14, he says, stand firm. Now, he's talking about a battle. He's getting ready to talk about a war. He's getting ready to tell you to put on the armor of God. But then he keeps saying, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Why is he saying, go fight, go fight, go fight? Because simply, the victory has already been won. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. Victory has already been won. So be strong in the Lord, the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Don't go out half-dressed. Be fully clothed in the full armor of God. Why do you need God's armor? Because you're waging a spiritual battle. Now, you feel it in the flesh, but its source, Satan, its source, the world, its source, sin operating in the flesh, has a spiritual origin. If you're operating on New Year's resolutions, you're acting like it only has a physical origin. He says, put on your belt of truth. Verse 14, your loins, it's around your waist area, your hip area, your loins must be girded with truth. A fixed standard by which reality is measured. A non-negotiable standard. God is truth. The second thing he says is put on your breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the chest. What's behind the chest? It's your heart. What's in the center of your heart? Well, it's your consciousness. See, when you have truth, then your heart knows how to beat at the right rhythm. Once you let go of truth, then you lose sight of what's right and what's wrong, and you can be negotiated. He says, make sure you move to what's right. So now you got a gear to what's right. That is confirmed with number three, peace. Peace is what? Peace is inner tranquility. What does he call peace? He calls them shoes. What do you do with shoes? You walk. In other words, the assumption is you're going somewhere. The assumption is you're moving forward in your spiritual life. The assumption is not that you're standing still. Don't expect to hear from God if you're standing still. You've got to be a Christian who's on the move. Seeking to grow, seeking to develop, seeking to experience God at a deeper level. You got to be moving. You can't be static and wonder why you're not hearing from God. And one of the key words you hear from God is he turns your shoes into peace. Then pick up as you need the shield of faith, which is able to put out all the fiery darts of Satan. So you're moving in line with that. That connects you with acting like God is telling the truth and removes you from the distractions of the evil one. So what does Satan want to do? He wants to distract you from the real battle. He don't want you to look at him. He doesn't want you to look at the world. He doesn't want you to look at the flesh. He wants you to blame it on everybody else. And say, well, if you didn't do that to me, if these girls weren't so pretty, if this, if that, he wants to distract you from the real deal. Faith, acting like God tells the truth, extinguishes all that. Then he says, put on the helmet of salvation. What's a helmet do? Cover your head. What's in your head? Your brain. For the Christian, what is the brain? The mind. What does the mind do? That has to do with your new identity. How do we know? Because it has to do with your salvation, who you are in Christ. You don't do the things you used to do because you're not the person you used to be. He says, remember who you are. You are a blood-bought, totally forgiven, absolutely redeemed, heaven-bound child of God. That's who you are. Anything else is false ID, and you are at a masquerade party. Your identity in Christ is that you now are a son and a daughter of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Don't lose sight of your identity. And then finally, he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in verse 17. Now, this is the different word for word. This word is rhema, utterance of the word of God. In other words, using the Bible. Quoting the right scripture at the right time about the right problem to the right enemy. When Satan attacked Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Guess what Jesus said? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what he did? He whipped out his Zorro sword. You know? On God. Because Satan is allergic to scripture. Now, he can handle your thinking. He can handle your debating. He can handle your discussing. But what he can't handle is the word of God. Three times Jesus came out, it is written, it is written, it is written. He didn't only know the word, he used the word. Now listen to this. If the living word needed to use the written word to deal with the enemy of the word, how much more do you and I who have never written any word need to use the same word to deal with the enemy of the word? You say, okay, I hear that, but that's still ethereal to me. Let me help you. Verse 18. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition. How do you put these clothes on? By prayer. Prayer is the way you get dressed. The armor is what you get dressed with. These six pieces of armor are one thing, not six things. He uses six things to describe one thing. And the one thing is back at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So he connects putting on the whole armor of God with being strong in the Lord. Why? Because each piece of armor is simply a different way of describing who Jesus Christ is. Put on the belt of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says he is our righteousness. The Bible says put on the shoes of peace. Romans 5 says in him we have peace. Pick up the shield of faith. Hebrews 12 says Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. The Bible says he is the captain of our salvation. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible says that he is the word of God. All it is put on Jesus every day. Just put on Jesus.
Dr. Evans will come right back with a final thought about standing strong in the face of temptation. Remember, we're getting very close to wrapping up Tony's series on the essentials of spiritual growth. So now's the time to get all 16 lessons in this two-volume collection on CD or digital download, as well as that bonus devotional book from Dr. Evans called Life Under God. They're both yours as a thank you gift for your contribution to Tony's ministry. But don't wait, this special offer is only available for a couple more days. Make a point of calling our Resource Center today at 1-800-800-3222 or visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or by phone 1-800-800-3222. The birth of a baby is amazing, but it's just the beginning of the story. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain the same is true with spiritual newborns, as he talks about Christian growth stages from maternity to maturity. Right now, though, he's back with a final word about what to do when temptation seems too tough to endure.
Hebrews 2:18 says this, Jesus was tempted as we are in every area in order to deliver us when we are tempted. Guess what? When you go to God and say, God, I want to cheat on this test, Jesus going to say, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about because I got tempted like that. When I want to go over here or do this, Jesus will say, I hear you. I've been there. I've been under the temptation. I know what it is to be attacked, so I feel you. See, the Father can say, I know it, but Jesus can say, I feel it. I'm with you. So if you are dressed in me, and I'm feeling it with you, I'm going to tell you what I did when I faced it so you can do it now that you face it. We're going to take on this thing together.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.